Ladies and gentlemen, please be advised, this show, the next show that you're about to hear, is just in regards to a very specific topic. Neither Ricky or I are legal experts, nor are we advocates of anything in particular other than making sure that we take care of our workforce. Isn't that right, Rick?
Absolutely correct. The purpose of this show is just to shoot around ideas, have conversations, lively conversations about things that business owners and HR professionals see in the workforce every single day.
With that being said, let's go. You're listening to another episode of HR Talk. It's our pleasure to be back here for you this week. This week, we're going to be addressing the topic of marijuana, legalized marijuana in the workplace. What are we supposed to do with that, and how do we tackle the topic? Ricky and I are going to be hopping right into that. I'm JC on the line, all the way from Central Florida. Ricky Baez. Ricky, how are you today, sir?
Doing good, JC. Doing great, actually. How about you up there?
I'm tired, man. I am. I'm doing okay, though. A lot of a lot of positive energy from many of the episodes that we've had out there. I did have a chance to listen back to many of the shows that we put together over the past couple months on a couple road trips recently. I think we've got a good product going here. Big thank you going out to some of the people that got in touch privately to talk about some of the topics that they wanted pushed, which are some of the few you're going to be hearing over the next month or two here. So big shout out to the confidential sources providing us with feedback and input. You always have a safe space in the trust tree here.
Keep them coming. The trust tree. Okay, so not the circle of trust, the trust tree.
The trust tree.
Yeah,
that's right.
I like that. That should be an episode all about the trust tree. So yeah, thank you. So just keep those coming. And the more data, the more information we get for future shows, the better it is for everybody. That way we can talk about relevant topics.
So speaking about relevant topics, Rick, you had mentioned that you really want to get into the weed this week, right?
I wanted to get into the topic of marijuana and work, not necessarily just marijuana, but
I gotcha.
To talk about how that works.
Marijuana or drugs in general, man?
It could be drugs in general, but since marijuana is the one that's being more legalized in many states, so that's the one that's going to affect the workforce the most.
Yeah, you really don't hear about cocaine becoming legal too much in the workforce. You know,
no, not really. I mean, unless it's just Coke, regular Coca-Cola, which I think Coca-Cola, when it first, the reason it's called Coca-Cola, isn't it because they used cocoa leaves to make the product back in the day?
I have no idea.
I could have sworn I read something about that. But back in the day when it was first starting, the reason it became so addictive is because of the coca leaves. I could be way off base of that. If somebody out there knows, please let me know. I'll Google it here in just a bit. But
yeah. I do think the internet's going to have the quick answers for you on that one, brother. Just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, with marijuana in the workplace, though, a lot has changed over the past few years, and there's some good studies that are currently being conducted, and some that have already taken place in regards to the use of marijuana medicinally. And we do have a lot of rules on the books in different states that do allow for this. And it seems that popular opinion is going to be moving that needle from A past B all the way to the letter M. For marijuana, coming up sometime soon. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Chuck Schumer, whatever his name is. And also there was a proposition that was put on the table from some people on the Republican side of the House. Everyone's looking to get something put together to move forward with a federally mandated bill. But we do have some states with laws on the books already. Isn't that right, Rick?
That is correct. So first of all, I just want to say this. It's nothing about this show is advocating the use of any kind of illegal drugs. The whole point of this show is just to talk about how we get to deal with as business owners and HR professionals if we happen to come to clash with the legalization, not legalization at in each state and how we're going to deal with it at work. So right now, I think with my research, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 states that has legalized marijuana for recreational use. And you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You've got about 15 or so states that is legalized for medical use. All the other states pretty much have nothing at all, no laws to kind of let you know what you should and shouldn't do with marijuana. But then that's in the absence of any kind of a state law, you revert back to federal law, which federal law says it's illegal. So really it depends on the state. So the big question becomes, JC, if you own a business in a state that has legalized marijuana for recreational use, not for medical use, two different things, what do you do? What do you do if you have employees who come in who regularly use marijuana?
It's a good question as to whether or not the employer is going to take that don't ask, don't tell approach in regards to the topic. You know, I mean, if you're showing up to, and it's kind of the same with alcohol, though, as well, right? If you show up on the job and you're hammered, there's going to be consequences, right?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
If you show up on the job and you're high as hell, there could probably be some consequences. But if the employer takes that don't ask, don't tell approach to the use of marijuana, even if it is legalized in the state and you're not bound by any federal regulations in your place of employment and your employee is holding everything together and there's nothing visibly impeding, it begs to ask the question as to whether or not you're going to have, are you conducting a drug test every morning when they walk in the door, or are you just looking for that comprehensive collective sign that your employee is ready to work that day, right?
So you touched on a good part of it there. So first of all, there's no don't ask, don't tell at work, right? You definitely can't ask. You can ask if you're
well. Some employers may take the approach, though. Some employers might take the approach. If you show up at work every day and I say, "Hey, Rick, are you hammered? Stop drinking. Look at you, you lush." And you don't drink. You're a Latter-day Saint. There's a different bowl of wax here. Now I'm harassing you.
Yeah, but you got to be careful with that, too, because you're right.
You
can't
with
just
everything
flat out ask that, right? So you have to focus on the action. You can't focus on the assumption. Somebody comes into work completely hammered. You know they're hammered, but you have to focus on the actions that you're seeing that makes you believe he or she is under the influence, and not just assume and then call them out. Because if you call them out, you're saying you're high, you're drunk, whatever the case may be, but you're wrong. Now you find yourself in a different legal boat, because now you're accusing somebody at work for being under the influence. Now you're going into slander, libel, whatever the case may be.
But reasonable suspicion testing, that's a completely different ball of wax. And if that
Absolutely.
Test comes back positive in a reasonable suspicion situation, and a no-tolerance employer with a clear policy is moving forward on that, they could fire or reprimand that employee accordingly.
They could, after a thorough investigation has been conducted and it has been concluded that they are under the influence. But the key thing here, JC, is you have to make sure that you focus on the action and the behaviors you're seeing and not on any assumptions you may have for what he or she is under. So marijuana in a state that's legal for recreational use should be treated no differently, how you said it earlier, like alcohol. Alcohol is legal in all states, but if you show up to work under the influence of alcohol, then you have an issue. So one example would be if, you're a forklift driver, you show up to work and you get into a little accident, right? So workers' compensation comes into play. So once you seek treatment, they pull your blood, they find out, oh my God, you have alcohol in your system, now you have an issue. But here's what happened as far as alcohol is concerned. It stays in your system for just a small amount of time. So you'll be able to find out. I don't know the medical timeline here, but if you've been drinking in the past 5, 6 hours, or even 8 hours, you can still find it in your system. So now you're in trouble. So what happens if you smoke marijuana, let's say 2, 3 weeks ago, and you get into that same accident? Obviously, you're not in the under the influence at that point in time. But marijuana stays in your system for 30 days. So how do you know if you wasn't high at that point right there when you had that accident? So that's the issue that from my perspective, I see I'm in Florida, right? So I'm in a state that has marijuana legalized for medical purposes, but not for recreational use. But I have yet to see that in the workplace.
So one of the big questions is whether or not an employer is going to remain effective with a zero tolerance policy when they're just bound by state law, or if they're going to adopt some sort of leniency associated with that, especially when you're talking about like a 30-day turnaround on some of the test results. You take a state like Colorado and some jobs that do have a zero tolerance policy within that state, employers are turning to states nearby to publish and try to recruit employees for some of these zero tolerance jobs. Over in Massachusetts, for example, some of the laws state that the authority of the employers to enact and enforce workplace policies restricting the consumption of marijuana by employees. So the employers do have that authority to restrict the consumption of marijuana by employees. But what the employer doesn't have control over every aspect of somebody's life. They just have control of what's taking place within the bounds of that job task or work site, right? Could the employer, if you're in a remote working scenario, have a very strict policy that says absolutely zero tolerance in the state of Massachusetts for you, my friend? You are working at home. I don't care if it's legal in your recreational time. You can't touch it. But we're not saying that it's completely banned. Can they do things like this?
They can, because if you work for any organization, you are bound by the policies of that organization, regardless of what state you live in, even if you work remotely. Now, unless the policies of that organization, it contradicts the laws of the state. So, for example, if you work, I don't know, if your company's out of Massachusetts and you work out of Florida, and there is a policy in your organization that you work for that causes you to violate the law in Florida, then you can't have a policy that violates the law, right? But JC, here's the kicker, or I guess the question of the day. When you impose some kind of a zero tolerance policy, now I haven't read all the manuals for all organizations, but 9 times out of 10, it's going to say we have zero tolerance for illegal drugs. The operative word there is illegal. So what happens when that illegal part becomes legal? Now organizations have to change their tone and they have to change their policies. But how do you do that and still maintain a drug-free work environment? Because drugs, it could be legal or illegal.
All right.
You can be under OxyContin or Cotin, whatever you call it, I don't know, or Percocet, and that is a legal drug if you have a prescription for it. So let's say 2 weeks off your prescription expires, but you still have some Percocet and you still take it. Now you're taking illegal drugs because you have no permission for that.
Well, that
it will
this
fall
is
under that.
This is where that employer has to make a very, very strong and clear statement, though. As to their drug policy and position in regards to the expectations, if there's a test that pops positive, you know, the pre-legalization world and the zero tolerance policy is one thing. Now, a lot of employers having to transition, kind of like what you're asking me and what we're talking about right now, definitely review the policies. It should include a current review of state regulations where that employer operates and be all-encompassing so that it has consideration of the legalization. Going from a zero tolerance to a tolerant workforce is one thing, but we're already tolerant of alcohol in some ways, and we may still have a policy on the books that says, well, you can't show up shit-faced, you know, so.
Yeah, you can't. So let's be careful with that term. It's not
I didn't mean shit-faced. I meant slightly intoxicated.
That's not what I meant. Tolerance.
Oh, okay. I thought you didn't like the word shit there for a minute. I apologize.
No. Shit is okay. That's okay. It's okay to shit on that.
I want to piggyback before you go too far, though, because they kind of go hand in hand here, and I toss it right back to you. But while we're reviewing some of the policies, the review of job descriptions, when we're talking about safety-related positions, you got Bobby runs a forklift or something like that. We do have concerns there, right?
We do when you're operating heavy machinery, and because your judgment is impaired in operating that heavy machinery, you can get into an accident and hurt people really bad. So that's why it's you got to be careful as far as what positions get random drug tests, because even with alcohol, you could still do random drug testing or just random testing altogether to make sure that you don't have anybody that's operating heavy machinery under the influence. So one of the things I've run in the state of Florida is when I used to work for the government is that if we do random drug testing for people who drive for the organization, for the government entity, then you can do specific random drug testing to see if they're under any kind of influence, right? Now, what employees really pushed back on me is that according to state law, you can still drive and be under the influence at 0.004 blood alcohol level, whatever that was.
Right. Because wait a second. Most people just go out to the bar with their breathalyzer in hand and be like, well, that's all the beer I have for today. Let me go driving around now. It doesn't happen that way, employee. I understand what they're saying, but for crying out loud, come on.
You may, but I don't, because the pushback to them is that is what the law has said.
True. That
considers you to be drunk while driving, whereas our policy says you shouldn't have any alcohol in your system at all while driving a company vehicle on company time. So there's a big difference there. Well, of course, they're going to lose their jobs if they pop positive. But again, in a position where they're driving heavy machinery or operating heavy machinery, you can have random drug testing. But when you're at work, like in an office, it really depends on the state, but random drug testing would not be prudent.
Drug sexting sounded way more fun, the way you did that, brother. Drug sexting. Hey, everyone, down to the lunchroom. It's time for drug sexting.
That would also get you in trouble, trust me. that would get you in trouble.
Veronica, how are you? No, I'm kidding. Look, how about one of the other things about the employers being more accommodating to marijuana users based on laws and reasonable accommodations in the state? Let's take the pedal off the gas of like the enforcement and zero tolerance and the hard side of things. How about that accommodation of the weed?
See, I have yet to see that. I'm sure it's out there, but I have yet to see an employer who can be accommodating to their employees as far as marijuana is concerned in those states. I just don't know how they could.
Now, there's deep-seated medicinal reasons for it at times, though.
Well, that's different, right? Because if you are using marijuana for medical purposes, that is no different than using any other type of drug, narcotic, for medical purposes. So you still have to be able to be not under the influence at work.
So it's still a HIPAA violation if we start to drug test the people and they're using it for medicinal reasons.
Well,
it depends.
Well, yeah, it depends, though, because if you get into an accident at work and they pull the blood and then a medical review officer sees, wait a minute, you've got marijuana in your system. Do you have any documentations to prove or to show that you have to use this legally? You produce that information. But then if you're too far under the influence, you can't really work, especially if you're a forklift driver.
All right, HR guru guy, in your state, marijuana is now legal for recreational and medicinal use, or maybe not even recreational, for medicinal use. And your employee has a severe medical condition where this helps them. They're not bound to come and tell you or give you a note that says, hey, I'm allowed to smoke weed in my free time because it helps me and my medical problem. They don't have to do that, right?
It's not as black and white as you think.
I mean, do they have to come and tell you that they're taking that they have to go through chemotherapy? Do they have to come and tell you that they need to put suppositories in periodically? I mean, we got to draw a line somewhere.
You're right. But what do you do if you're an airline pilot? If you're an airline pilot and you show up to work and you're under the influence of marijuana and you're high, you may have a duty to let your organization know you have ABC happening, right? Because now you've got the public safety at risk.
Or if you're a senator, congressman, or president or something like that. You're not going to show up high.
And then you got to sign legal documents while you're high?
Because federally, it is not legal. So while the federal workforce is spread out across the country, they still can't touch it. So we're talking about a different crop of people. And the same may go into effect here when we're talking about pilots. Back to what you said in the beginning, those strict guidelines and policies, and also curving the current write-ups that we have on some of these job descriptions to make it very clear and explicit as to what you can and cannot do in regards to this position, right?
Correct. So if you work for a major airline, you would have different kinds of policies and procedures for that as you would for, let's say, an HR consulting firm, because both of those positions, an airline pilot and an HR consultant or even an admin assistant, are radically different in what they do. So you would have to have different kinds of reporting procedures for each job to make sure that you're not violating any policies. Bring that up. Go ahead. I see you. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is hard, though. I mean, because marijuana is a controlled substance, according to the FDA, the DEA, OSHA, and workers' comp underwriters.
Is Percocet. It's Percocet, right? How is that?
HR is really up against a wall on this one, man. It really is. This is very ill-defined. It really is.
But you can expect that because it's still a very young process, right? This 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you would never think that you would have, that we would be talking about using marijuana medically. Well, I guess you would, but not as broad as it is right now, or even recreationally. So this is an evolving process at the infancy stages. So as we go, and there's a checks and balances process that we're going to experience in the next 5 years, it'll be more refined. We're still in the early parts of it.
Now, look, I know you're not a lawyer, but every employer still has a right to protect their interests, their stakeholders, their employees' safety with policy and practice. That can't really change too much. But when we're talking about state-by-state legislation for medicinal or recreational use, ay, mio. Ricky, what are you going to do, man?
So it's the best thing we can advise our listeners here, JC, is to
get a lawyer.
Absolutely. No,
get
you're right.
Get a lawyer.
Right.
Absolutely.
Depending on what state you live in, get an attorney, get an employment and labor law attorney who is able to review your policies and procedures that coincide with your state laws, and make sure and it also depends on the values of the organization as well, all right? Because you've got some organizations that say, we allow no alcohol whatsoever, even on and off use. And that's not a violation of anybody's right. That is a private employer. They can essentially do what they want as long as it doesn't violate a person's individual rights.
That's right. They could do what they
want. Smoking is legal.
They do what they want. That employer does what they want. They can. Yeah. They can do what they want.
Find me a lawyer that will say, like, great. But you've got some organizations now in the state of Florida who fire employees when they find out the employees are smokers.
Here's a question for you. Can you require an employee to self-disclose if they need accommodation under the ADA for medicinal use of marijuana?
So ADA, can you require to self-disclose? So what
Correct.
ADA says, and what people, and for the people who don't know, is the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about the American Dental Association. No, I'm sorry, Rick. Go ahead. Yes. Yes.
I forget, that's also You're the right. acronym. So the Americans with Disabilities Act, what it says is
Ricky, I have sensitive gums. I need the weed. My gums bleed in the morning.
As an excuse.
No, but really, self-disclosure under the ADA. Can you require?
So here's the thing. If during the interview process, right, as the employer, you're supposed to ask the candidate if whether he or she can perform the duties of the job that they're interviewing for with or without reasonable accommodations. And that starts the dialogue, because the law says we need to have an interactive dialogue to figure out if he or she needs an accommodation. It is at that point that they would be, I don't want to say required, it'd be who of them to disclose, yes, I do need an accommodation. Let's start having this conversation. But if they say no, and you show them the job description and you hire them and they bring it up, I don't know, 2 or 3 months later, it would still behoove of you as an organization to go ahead and go through that interactive process to see if they need accommodation. And marijuana, again, I'm not an attorney, should fall into into that realm, because we don't know if they develop a condition that requires marijuana as a medical resolution after you hire them. So we don't know at this point. You just got to have that conversation with them at the beginning of the interview process.
One thing you said to me early on in one of our other shows is when we put together our handbooks, manuals, and guides, it's always a good practice to maybe not be as pinpoint specific along the way. Leave a little bit of room so that we can make reasonable judgments in good faith for the benefit of our employees and workforce. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about clarification of what it means to be under the influence as we review and revise our policy guides and manuals, we might need to be a little bit more clear and specific with what under the influence means, especially when we're talking about a state under our purview that has legalization of marijuana, right?
No, under the influence is still under the influence, right? It's the moment you start being really specific as to what that means, the more holes you leave for other things to come into it.
So, all right. So maybe not more specific, but at least clarify due to the revisions in the state as to what it means to be under the influence in regards to the legalization of marijuana. Recreational and medicinal use.
I don't know what you would do, how you would word that different, because under the influence, whether is you're under the influence legally or under the influence illegally, it still presents an issue at work. Because I can have a prescription for a Percocet and I'm loopy and it's perfectly legal. I'm not going to go to work and fly a plane. I'm not going to do that, right? So 'cause that's still being under the influence. So if it should say anything, I'm going off the cuff here, it should just start talk about something about you being under the influence, regardless of what that is, that would impair your judgment to be safe at work. And that's anything at all. NyQuil, Oxy, marijuana, Miller Lite, whatever it is. You will still be under the influence that would impair your judgment.
Do you guys, you've had one of those like employee assistance program type things, right?
Ah, yes.
You've had those before.
Yes.
Do you currently have that at a few of the places you help out with? I mean, there's something in place there, right?
No, absolutely.
So, We need some expansion there, right? We need some expansion there with the resources for treatment of abuse of drugs.
It depends because in some organizations, not all organizations do this, but some organizations, if you come forward to your employer and you say, "Hey, boss, I'm really struggling here. I'm having an issue with illegal drugs. I'm having an issue with A, B, and C." If you have some kind of a rehab policy or something in your benefits, it would behoove of the organization to help the employee go through that process. And you would get some help, whether it's from the employee assistance program, your benefits program, whatever it is. That's different than you just getting caught getting high in the bathroom. You getting caught high in the bathroom or in the backyard over at your office, now you're violating policies. And that's not the time for you to throw the card of, "Oh, I need help. I'm abusing drugs." You were caught. So if you have this to actually be dictated in your policies, the policy should say something really clear, or that says if you have an issue with it, we have a program, but ABC has to happen first. So some organizations have those. I mean, I can't speak for every organization in the U.S., only in the ones that I've been able to work with in the state of Florida and Georgia. So you do have those programs, but only under certain conditions.
So kind of as long as employees don't undermine the policy and the good faith effort of the employer and stay within the good graces, things are good to go, right?
Correct. All right. Normally.
And as employers, we do also need to understand that this isn't just smoking of marijuana. They can consume cannabis discreetly. Let it be through vaping or
edibles, oils, cannibal oils. Yeah.
Cannibal oils. That's something radically different. That's like Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer type stuff, man. I don't even want to go there. Cannibal. Oh, my God. Holy crap, Ricky.
Yeah, then go there.
Man, cannibal oils. This guy. I can't even take you. I can't take you out of the house. We're never going to be able to do a show live anywhere. Holy crap, cannibal oils. Listen to you.
Yeah, wait till that becomes legal.
Yeah, no, no. We're not doing this. I can't go down that road. I feel sick to my stomach. Awesome. Jokes aside here, albeit terrible jokes aside, if someone's consuming edibles, which should, I mean, this is just me, Rick. It should be legal. It should be legal across the board for medicinal use. Recreational use, I could take it or leave it, whatever the case may be. Fine. But I still don't think people should be locked up for 15, 20 years. That's neither here nor there. I'm not going to head down that path. My point right now is that the use of edibles and the use of vaping and oils, there's different ways for people to consume what they need to help them that's legal within that state. So we... What do we have? We got a security guard checking brownies at the front door? No. You don't go through the employee's bags. You don't go through their stuff. Even if you have a reasonable suspicion, you still need something to put you, the employer, in a position to where you feel you need to take those steps up against an employee, correct?
Yes, and that's why it's earlier we talked about what actions or what behaviors you should be looking at, right? So somebody comes to work, they're slurring their speech, their hand-eye coordination is off, their eyes are bloodshot, and they smell, I don't know, it's either alcohol, you smell of marijuana, you now have reached a specific level that you're able to send them down for drug testing, right? So you go ahead and just take a statement, see what they write down, send them down to drug testing, but only if you hit those parameters. Now, again, every organization is different. Every policy is different. And you get different states that prohibit that. But in the absence of all of that, you can go ahead and send them down to any kind of reasonable suspicion testing if you hit those checks. Again, hand-eye coordination is off, smell, slur speech, they're really slow in the cognitive ability. So, yeah, once you hit that point, then you're able to do something about it. Now, bringing brownies to work or cannabis oil to work, it's having a security guard check it. You shouldn't do that just for the sole purpose of that. Because then you will have to check everybody's bag every day. And I'm sure that's pretty time consuming and it's not a good use of everybody's time. Unless, of course, you work in an environment where you have a lot of high value products, like, again, a pharmaceutical company or a Brinks organization when you handle a lot of cash. Every organization is different.
Employers don't have to tolerate that on the job intoxication. Even if a worker is using marijuana for medical reasons, for medicinal purposes, maybe the employer needs to consider inclusion of a different adaptation of the policy to allow for time off for medical reasons if this is the situation. You know, there's, if I'm not mistaken, I think that there's a couple states, Massachusetts and New York, maybe,
that
afford protection for registered medical marijuana users and might require employers to be a little more interactive with reasonable accommodation in that regard.
Well, I don't know if Massachusetts or the state of New York have that kind of protection. I do know that both of those states have a protection that allows people to take time off for medical conditions, and that's called FMLA. We did a show on that, right? So this, if it's for medical reasons, it falls all the under FMLA once you follow that process. Because again, it's medical marijuana. So if you have a disease that you have that you need medical marijuana for, and you have to use it constantly while you, I don't want to say cure, but to control it, or you know what the heck, cure it as well, then, and you can't work because you're under the influence, then apply for FMLA. Everything gets filled out and you'll be out of work and your job is protected.
You're an employer in a state where things are transitioning. We're heading into a more tolerant realm, recreationally and medicinally speaking. But you still have this really old policy of zero tolerance and you're laying the hammer down on everyone. And is that a good thing or should you adapt, Rick? Should you adapt? Should you change your policies and guidelines to account for the new laws or the new regulations out there?
I'll tell you this, in a situation like this, JC, you've got to put the hat on of the business owner, right?
And that's exactly where I'm firing from. Bring it.
You have to, right? So as a business owner, I'm not thinking as an employee, I'm thinking as a business owner.
Correct.
I will keep things just the way they are because I don't want to open up any liability for my organization where I'll make it known that it's okay for you to smoke weed and then come to work. Because then what ends up happening is you're going to have people come in, they're going to get into an accident, somebody else is going to get hurt. And if they find out they're high, they find out they're high because you lax your policies and you lax your rules when it comes to that, you are now opening up your business for liability. And as a business owner, I will not do that. I would just leave it just the way it is. Now, let's be clear.
And that's still a very strict policy out there in regards to use of marijuana from that federal level. And it is still illegal and not tolerated. Zero tolerance when we're talking about jobs that might be related to national security and law.
I am really sorry if I'm being gray here. So zero tolerance when it comes for using it at work, showing up to work under the influence. But if you start a dynamic dialogue under ADA, and if you start a dynamic dialogue when it comes to FMLA in a state where you are able to use it medically, then yeah, go ahead and just have that conversation.
And to the Supreme Court we go. know? Get yourself a sponsor. It's going to be a long fight.
it is, buddy.
I don't know if you know this, but even outside the federal workforce, the U.S. government has refused to relax its marijuana regulations. So kind of like in the District of Columbia, just as many states, the Department of Veteran Affairs, that federal entity, they won't prescribe marijuana or the use of cannabis or oils or anything like that.
But you know why, right?
Because it's flat out illegal federally, and that's their stance on it, and that's where it is.
I mean,
it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure this one out.
Finally, they're making sense when it comes to that, right? They're not being hypocritical from one way, whether you agree with it or not. You're like, wow, they're not being hypocritical here. They're not giving it one way, whereas illegal the other way. So again, not that say that I agree with it or don't agree with it, but it makes sense when it comes to, you know, when you're trying to figure out their rationale. It makes perfect sense.
So I'm kind of interested to see in the private sector and in, say, state governments and local government entities, as well as the topic progresses forward and things change in the coming years, how much attention is then focused on prevention when we're talking a recreational situation compared to advocacy for medicinal purposes? Take the medicinal purposes aside, you're in the workplace, and now we've got marijuana prevention posters that have to legally be posted places, and education and training subsequent.
Yeah, so do you have that for alcohol? Do you have anything else? Do you have that for porn addiction, right? So what are you going to put on the break room, right? So it depends on A, where your organization stands cordially, and B, what kind of positions you have in the organization. So again, the open dialogue, dynamic dialogue is crucial in any situation where you have anything medically, especially with accommodations and FMLA. So just start going that route. When you start talking about any kind of posters being put up to prevent addiction, you have to, I guess, show that you do have an addiction problem with your employees. And I don't know how you want to put that out there. So it depends. It depends on the organization.
Ricky, we are nearing 40 minutes on the topic today. Anything you'd like to say in closing, believe it or not, before we get to some final thoughts?
So I've said it plenty of times, and I know I'm going to sound like a broken record. From an employer's perspective, go ahead and encourage that open and dynamic dialogue when it comes to ADA and FMLA. And don't be too quick to judge somebody, especially if you are in a state that legalizes it for medical purposes and that it does fall under the ADA FMLA format. Do not put yourself in legal liability by declining it just because of what the organization's beliefs are. Just follow that process and and from the states that they go ahead and do it for recreational use. Again, treat it just like alcohol. Show up to work under the influence. We're going to go ahead and hold you accountable, and that's exactly what business owners should do. So, in closing, again, this show was about marijuana in the workplace. Just want to put out there that both JC nor I, we do not condone the use of it. This show is solely just to have a conversation about how business leaders and how HR should handle this in states where is legal for use medically and it's legal for use recreationally.
Thank you very much for that, Ricky. I do want to circle back since we're talking about, you know, different things. Alcohol has come up a couple times, something that we brought up a few weeks ago, a few shows back, that you never circled back on. Did you ever put the cheap vodka in the Brita filter or the water filter to find out if it turned out well? Did you do this yet? Come on.
I bought it. No. Check it out. I bought it, right? And it came in, Amazon. It came in, but I just need to go buy the most important part, which is the cheap vodka. I have yet to do it. So I still need to go out and purchase it and then filter it. Because
I see what you're saying. All the vodka in my house, Jim, is too high grade.
I gotta
find cheap
one,
vodka.
Right? You know what? The ones that come in Ziploc bags. That's the one I'm looking for.
So. You know what's funny about the Ziploc bag thing? I have an uncle who's a big sports fan. I won't say his name. We'll just call him Uncle Bones, though. And he had this great idea a few years ago, heading into a sporting event where you weren't allowed to take beer, liquor, alcohol, anything that you could drink that would get you messed up that had alcohol in it like that. You couldn't take anything in. So he had a bright idea because the policy that was written said you cannot bring in cans or bottles. So he put his beer in Ziploc bags and brought straws.
That's not a bad idea.
He didn't break their policy, but he wasn't allowed to bring in the bags of beer. So they stopped him at the gate. He turned around and got it out of his straws, and he was sipping down bags, Ziploc bags of beer.
They stopped him at the gate?
Yeah.
See, that's when you need to show up with the policy, right? Show up with the policy. And then,
well, I guess it's
your policy straight.
I guess it's still the same when we're talking about the topic of the show today. No matter what's written down in the policy, at the end of the day, it's about that good faith effort and action of the employer and what they're looking to do, you know? So even though the You're policy right. may say one thing, it doesn't mean you need to be showing up in the parking lot with, you know, two trays of brownies, five cookies, and,
That's
you know,
awesome.
I can't even.
That's not a bad
we
idea.
We both know what we're talking about here. Hey, my pleasure over the past few weeks fielding some questions from everyone out there that has been listening. Thank you very much for hitting me up on Twitter. We have seen a lot of growth lately from people that are real intrigued by AI. I've received a lot of feedback from people looking to see if we could do a show on artificial intelligence in the human resources sector, Rick. I told them that I would definitely bring it up towards the end of the show, pitch it out to you. Most topics kind of stick. We're not quitting anytime soon. I think it's something we could address, right?
Yeah. No, we're not. We're actually researching that to actually sound intelligent when talking about that topic. So, that's actually coming up in the next couple of shows. You can text me or tweet, whatever. Just send me a message. Let me know. I swear I'm not drinking that filter vodka yet. I'm not doing it.
I like it. Ricky's like, yeah, twat's me.
Twat to me.
This is two times in one show. The cannibal oil, right. And everyone needs to twat Ricky. This has been another episode of HR Talk. I'm JC on behalf of Rick. It's been our pleasure to be here for you. Thank you so much for participating. Drive safe. Look out for those drug tests. Have a good night.